Blog Talk Radio.
Peace and greetings, greetings and blessings, and thank you for joining us for another edition of Soul Scribe Radio with Amaria Tucker. I am the Millennial Soul Scribe. I am a spiritual life coach, and I assist my clients with using their divine cosmic blueprint to manifest their life and connect with their divine self. I am so excited and so happy and grateful that the time has finally aligned for me to be joined tonight with my spiritual brother and comrade, the God historian Robert Lorenzo tonight. He is just a great being, and I will be bringing him on in a few minutes. Well, a couple of seconds. Let me say a few minutes. A couple of seconds so we can chop it up on this divine linkage and why I say he's my spiritual brother. The song Fantasy by Earth, Wind, and Fire is very prevalent and synchronistic and divine in regards to the relationship that we have and the relationship that we have with our spiritual family, the Tibro community, under the leadership of our father and mother, the gurus, Master and Asaria Mitchell and Kathy Gibson. So without further ado, I am going to bring on Robert, and we're going to get into this discussion on divine linkage, the gods among us. Hi, Robert. Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you just fine. That was lovely. Thank you, Romaria. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I love that title, Millennial Scribe. Oh, yeah, I got a little tingle, a little chill when you say it. So thank you for having me on, Romaria. Yeah, that was good to me right there. Happy to be here. Happy to be here, man. More than happy to be here.
And, thank you.
So I'm just, you know, thank you for having me. And beautiful introduction. Thank you so much. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Tonight, guys, we're going to be talking about divine linkage. And when we think about divine linkage, it's the method and the action with yourself, connect yourself to higher beings. Some may say spirits, the gods and goddesses, that omnipotent energetic frequency of creation. And most people, when they think of divine linkage, it comes up with the magician, magical rites and rituals. Mm-hmm. And it's when people join themselves to that energy to help them to manifest their goals and desires, whatever it may be. And as time goes by, if it's a specific deity that you are so very connected with, that you love, and you begin to start seeing and feeling their presence within your life at all times, and you begin to notice and recognize that, you know, I have that same type of energy about me, and you begin to use it on a daily basis to help you with your life, that is like the ultimate goal of divine linkage. And I know that Robert can attest to us being able to see gods among us. So, Robert, will you go ahead and give me, like, your definition or how divine linkage is prevalent in
Okay. Yeah, a little. My connection is a little fuzzy here, but I can hear you just fine for most
okay.
of it. I think the last part you asked was how does the connection with divine linkage in my life? Was that right?
Yes. What's like your definition of it? How do you see divine linkage within your life?
Wow, it's a beautiful day to ask that question right there. Well, it's just the day alone. And you mentioned it's a particular special holiday in Buddhism today. I definitely want to bring that up later on, or as we go along in dialogue. But the fact that when we talk about divine linkage, as you just mentioned, and you mentioned a key term, a key word for me that's really showed up on my presence today and gave me a clearer insight. More so than ever before. I was thinking earlier, you know, you like to prepare, you know what I mean, get into your notes and what have you. And I've actually been doing that without realizing I've been doing it throughout the day. I guess that's just about that's pretty much how most of my days go.
Yes.
As far as looking into the I just love where the mythologies, the stories of the God, and how they relate to the as we learned at Astrologia, the inner universe, and also how they connect with the outer universe, the stars and the constellations and the heavens above. So the one key point, I grasped a whole totally different expansion of the Holy Trinity today. That goes in with divine linkage or the connection. And the key part, as we're talking about divine linkage, is just that the linkage, the connection. And you may have seen, I posted earlier today, of it's a teaching, it's a saying about the Hebrew alphabet. And it's a 22-letter alphabet. And it said that the same laws, which is true, is governed by the same laws of creation. They're one and the same. They mirror each other. Or just the micro and the macrocosm. And it was condensed, the universal law, or the creation, the same law that governs creation, was condensed into an alphabet. And that language, the Hebrew language, is condensed with the same laws and principles, of the same laws and principles that were from the beginning and created creation. So if you learn to understand or grasp through the study of Hebrew, you can understand the laws of creation and the universe around you. And they also interrelate to the energy centers in the human body. And I mentioned the Holy Trinity. I hope this not going too many directions. I'm going to pull it all together here. but
it's okay.
I mentioned the Holy Trinity. And it's in every culture you always find a Holy Trinity. A lot of us may or may not have known it, but the Archangel Raphael is a part of one of the oldest Trinities, the oldest Holy Trinities, through Thutopius. And but I say that because it connects with the symbol of the Caduceus of our spiritual father, our spiritual parent, the Caduceus of Hermes, as he's known as Thoth, Hermes in the ancient Greek, Mercury in the ancient Rome, the Zante in the ancient Egyptian, and so forth, different known as different manifestations in different pantheons. And the particular part about the connection in the Hebrew was it's the sixth letter of the alphabet, and it's known as Vav, or V-A-V, sometimes also spelled V-A-U. And one of the most sacred and holy names of the Creator is connected with this word, this letter Vav. Vav can be used as the word as we use and or but. And it's a linkage. It's known as something like when we're talking and we say and, you know, just and God mm-hmm. created light, or and on the sixth day, you know, the work was completed, and the seventh work, the and connection point between, it's known as the connector between the spiritual and the physical, or the heavens and the earth. So through this letter Vav, the Hebrew letter Vav, you have a link. It's just it's written with just a straight line up and down. And it's connected with the spinal system of the human body, the spine, the backbone, if you will. It's an ancient symbol. It's an ancient symbol. In ancient Egypt, it was known as the back or the spinal, the backbone of Osiris.
Oh.
When Osiris' coffin is turned into a pillar in the king's temple, that pillar is the backbone or the spinal of Osiris. If anybody listens familiar with that mythological tale of the goddess Isis resurrecting the restoring the body of Osiris, and it was stored in the king's temple, and it grew into a tree. The body floated, and it floated into a tree, and it grew into the trunks of the tree. The tree grew very big. I'm really paraphrasing here, but the tree grew very beautiful, so much so that it took the liking of the king. And the king took the tree and had it made into a pillar, the center pillar in his castle, in his kingdom. The goddess Isis later retrieved that pillar. She went in disguise as a maiden, and she retrieved that pillar. The spine is connected with the spinal column of the backbone of Osiris. and which is in us all. And so here we have the connection again. We have the Osirian, in the Osirian mythology of the mother, which would be the goddess Isis, and the father, which would be the god Osiris. And we have the linkage with this, with the spinal, the backbone. And everyone is familiar with the Kundalini and the connection with the spinal cord. I think you've, everybody's probably seen that symbol. Well, the two serpents on each side, one represents the masculine and one is the feminine. We've heard those terms, but that masculine and that feminine is the mother and the father. But the spine itself is the linkage, the union of the two, or unifies the two. And so that unification in the Hebrew letters is known as Vav, and that's representation of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Son, or as we would say, knowledge, wisdom, understanding, many interpretations as far as the reach of it is all things embodied within it. On the spiritual path, sometimes we hear especially when we study the God of Abraxas, or when we study deeper into the pantheons, it reaches a point where it's a unification. It's said to be beyond both the light and the darkness, to be greater than the both, beyond the two. Well, that's the union of all three, the Mother, the Father, the Holy Spirit. And so it's just an amazing insight as we talk about the linkage, right, divine linkage. And what is this linkage? It's represented in all the mythologies as the tree of life, said to give the fruit, to give healing to all things. And so the vibe became just a highlight for me today. And my terminology may not be pronounced as correct, but if you follow along, you know, you can grasp the concept of what I'm actually saying and relaying. It's in every pantheon. It's in every mythology, and it's said to be to give the elixir of immortality or the elixir of life. In the story, if you recently saw. Through our family, through the Tybro family, our master, Father Jonty, just recently made a post about the, could you pronounce it for me, Omari, because I will mispronounce it now, the Shamusta.
Shishuma.
Shishuma, there we go. So you mm-hmm. need two, right? There we go again.
Yes, that's it.
I just had a message. You need two, right? So, you know, one hip, you need both legs. So the Shishuma and the connection with the Shishuma, with the ladder of Jacob's ladder. Now, you remember that post on it, Omari, I believe.
Yes.
The Shishuma and the connection. Someone asked, was it connected with Jacob's ladder?
Mm-hmm.
And it is. The Shishuma is the central cord. It's the central light on the tree of life. It's one of the north sigils. It's a set of headphones that has the design of the tree of life, the north tree of life. And anything we listen to, we know the backdrop. It's a product, Tybro product. It connects you with the underworld, if you will, the middle world, and the higher worlds. The Shishuma mm-hmm. does this thing as well. It's the same. It's the spinal cord. It's the human tree of life. It's the tree of life that's within us all. It's the tree of life that connects us into all three domains, the upper, middle, and the lower worlds. So it's through this Shishuma, the letter Vav, that we connect into all domains. Hence, we're talking about divine linkage, connected with our divinities to become whole. And we also have the three with the Trinity. Mm-hmm. So we have the Holy Spirit, the Father, you know, as they talk about it, but the Father, the Mother, and the Holy Son. So you have the unity of all three through the tree of life. Now, in the biblical text, I'm going to share some part. I don't know if some may have heard this before, some may have not have heard it, but I'm going to share it here and now. Okay. In the Bible, for the historians or studies, people who've really scholars of the biblical text, the scholars have long linked and known that the biblical Joseph is none other than the ancient Egyptian Imhotep. So Joseph, the father of the Christ, the father of the Christ, is the ancient Egyptian Imhotep. Now, when you study the two, an even more rare connection that's rarely spoken of, you see it maybe here, there, very spot, if you really search. When you go to, but it's, scholars have made the connection between the two, but it's not broadcast, you know. It's kind of kept very quiet. Even the Joseph and Imhotep connection, but they're the same being, same person. You can find that online. It's available. So when you go and you look and you realize that Joseph of the biblical text is actually Imhotep of the ancient Egyptian pantheon, one of the first Hermes to actually be the transfiguration or to obtain godhood. And so that's a big key to obtain godhood. The Sushumna, through the Sushumna, we can leave the hologram, we can go into the higher realms, we can attain our godhood, immortality, through the light body. So Imhotep is very significant with our evolution. And so when you make this connection between Joseph and Imhotep, and you look carefully, you will notice another connection. Joseph has a father in the biblical text. And can you guess who Joseph's father is?
Who Joseph's father is?
Joseph's father in the Bible. Of course, you know, it's not something that's always pointed out, but
no.
Some of the biblical scholars on the line may be able to know that one. Make a guess, just the one out there.
Okay, if Joseph is Imhotep, I'm going to say maybe Abraxas or the Buddha. Well, no, not the Buddha.
From the Bible, though. One of the names from the Bible.
Oh, gosh, Robert.
It's all okay. Okay, yeah, I said somebody's on the other end of the phone, like saying the name. They just screaming, you know, they're yelling
it
out. Like the Price is Right or something. So I'll go ahead and share it. But Joseph's father, biblical father, is none other than Jacob.
Ah, got you.
Jacob is Joseph's father.
And Jacob's ladder. Ah, gotcha. Wow.
Yeah, so Joseph's father is Jacob. Now, that's very significant when you look at it, because it's Joseph, it's Imhotep. Then you can go to ancient Egypt and see who's Imhotep's father. When you study Imhotep, Imhotep's father is none other than Ptah, the ancient Egyptian Ptah. Imhotep is the first pyramid builder. He was known as the great architect, son of Ptah. The great architect is one of the entities of the ancient Egyptian demiurge, the creator god Ptah, said to have formed and fashioned man. So this is significant, the attributes of the god Ptah, to have formed and fashioned man, the creator god. And the reason that's significant, the forming and the fashion of man, we've all heard the story. This is my spiritual father, by the way. They're both my spiritual father, so that's what kind of helped me to make the connection, to make the link, if you will, as we go back to Bach.
Mm-hmm.
And in the ancient Greek pantheon, Ptah is known as the god of fire and smithing, and metal Greek, the god Hephaestus. So in the ancient Greek, Hephaestus is Ptah. And the biblical, they're both known as Jacob. So Jacob,
wow,
the father of Joseph, is the ancient Egyptian Ptah, the ancient Greece Hephaestus, the ancient Roman Vulcan, also known as Mulciber, the god of fire, the god of metal Greek, the god of creation. That's where we get we have the story of Pandora. And if a lot of us may have heard of Pandora, but in the mythology, it's the first woman created, and you know, all the gods give their best attributes. And Pandora is fashioned by Hephaestus. He's the creator of Pandora. Who,
mm-hmm.
just to put it out there, who actually Mercury or Hermes ends up actually taking this as wife.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pandora's box is a whole nother story. It was a box that Mercury gave to for Pandora to watch and asked her not to open. But it's a lot of,
yeah.
That's another conversation and a whole nother insight right there in teaching. But that's a little insight between Hephaestus, Pandora, and Mercury, or the first woman, as is told in the mythos. So we have here the god of creation, the fashioner, right? And the symbol of Ptah in ancient Egypt is the djed. It's a symbol of the spinal. At the top of the djed is a symbol. When I first discovered that years ago, it blew me away, but I never really understood the linkage or the connection. If you look at it, it's the shape. You will see this bird-shaped being at the top of it if you pull the picture up. And at the top of the djed or the tree of life or the spinal column, the spinal cord, is this bird figure, which is in ancient Egypt was the phoenix, known as the Bennu, the great Bennu bird. Now, the Bennu is very significant. The Bennu was represented as the capstone of the pyramids. The final stone or the capstone, the grandeur stone, was represented as the Bennu bird. So this is all significant. How does that relate? Well, when we go to the biblical text, when Jacob has his dream of the ladder, of Jacob's ladder, as it has, you know, became to be known now, and of angels descending and ascending up and down the ladder, guess what Jacob was doing? He was sleeping on a pile of stones. He was sleeping on a stone as a for a pillow. Now, that's significant, this stone that Jacob slept on. As we know in masonry, the stone builders or the, you know, they work with stone, create
brick. Yeah.
So it's a story of the cultivation from an undeveloped stone to an actual work stone. And Jacob, after having his dream, he woke up and he concentrated the stone. And he did masonry. You know, he's the god of masonry. So here's the connection that they're actually revealing in the biblical text, but you just have to connect the two. And he dedicates it to God. And he builds a temple with the stone as the centerpiece, if you will. And the Jacob's ladder that was hewn from this stone, it's none other than the spinal cord, the kundalini. It's the story. It's the mythology of the staff of Hermes, of the Caduceus. It's the staff of Hermes, who is Imhotep, none other than the son of Ptah. So when you start to see these bridges between the gaps, once you start to make the linkage. Now all this relates, it's a star relation as well that goes in to it. But I just wanted to kind of, if you can call it an introduction, just to touch on that and to share that piece. To reveal or just share the fact of Joseph in the biblical text is Imhotep. The father of Imhotep is the god Ptah. The father of Joseph in the biblical text is none other than Jacob. They're both smiths. They're both masons. They're both connected with masonry. And so, you know, it's many, many, many links, if you will, between the two that share the story that's told in every culture. Throughout all the ages in the pantheon, you just have to connect the attributes to see it. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And that's why, folks, I call him the God story.
The God story. That's
not
story
a historian.
Right,
he's the God historian. I love the way that you have a love for going deeper and finding those connections to help with your growth and evolution process. Let me ask you this. How does my title of the God Storian. How does that relate? You know what, before I go there, guys, this weekend, Robert mentioned Astrologia. I went to a seminar with the Tybro family and our master teachers, father and mother, master and Asaria Mitchell Gibson. And now, mind you, Robert and I have planned this episode. It was set in stone. Here we go, Jacob and his stone. It was set in stone.
Good one.
What,
I like that.
Three weeks ago?
Yeah, about 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. But we've been planning it for a couple of months because I told him when I started my show, I wanted him to be on my show.
Yes, ma'am.
And the main thing that I got from Astrologia was, you know, really connecting to my divinity and really not being afraid to be my God self, right? And
okay.
Today, it ends up being Vesak Day, which is the day that is celebrated for the Buddha. Most Buddhists celebrate the Buddha on this day for 2017, May 10th, is Vesak Day. So I was just like, oh, wow, isn't this? And I love how things just align for us.
I love the fact you say in alignment. And,
yes.
And to bring the Buddha in, that's just beautiful. Please continue. Definitely go touch on that.
And we know now, I think a lot of us knew, Robert has been mentioning Imhotep and the Dijanti, but the Buddha is also connected to that energy
as well. Thank you.
And Robert, will you expound on that some more for us?
Oh, I sure will. I would love to. Thank you, Amari. Thank you for bringing in the Buddha, bringing in Lord Buddha and the birthday of the Buddha. I get chills. I'm excited about that. That's just beautiful to know. In honor of the Buddha, in honor of Lord Buddha, and the connection, how does the Buddha connect with this story, what we're just sharing, the linkage? Once again, I just bringing it to the Va, bringing it back to the linkage, the connection.
Yes.
And I started to notice, that's why connection seems to kind of come to me natural, as you would say to God. It's a reason for that. It took me some time to figure that part out, but it's a reason for that. But in the Vedic tradition, the planet Mercury is known as Buddha. Mercury is pronounced as Buddha, the Buddha. They're the same being. Mercury and the Buddha are the same being. And this is very interesting, the linkage between, first off, just a thorough insight of my, we all have what we've been blessed to know as our spiritual parents. So I guess I'll share that towards the end and the linkage there, the connection there. So Lord Buddha, how does Lord Buddha connect? What's the connection, which you guess? There is a connection between the Buddha, the god Ptah, all these different pantheons, right? Star Lord and Jacob of the biblical text. Major connection. Imhotep, Hephaestus. I'll just share. There's some rare ones I guess we can share today. Like Omari, it's the Buddha's Day. It's on our Blessed Wednesday, so we would definitely be sharing, you know. So everyone's familiar. Are you familiar when the Buddha attained his enlightenment?
Yes.
Okay. And the Buddha attained his enlightenment how or where? Where did the Buddha attain his enlightenment?
Wasn't he sitting in front of the Bodhi tree?
Thank you. Could you say that again?
I'm glad I got the answer right. The Bodhi tree. So are you telling me that that same tree is like the pillar of Osiris?
Oh, look at
that.
See,
you're teaching me some stuff.
That's right. That's right. On Buddha's Day, on Buddha's birthday.
Awesome.
On his own. Yes, that is the the Bodhi tree, or the tree of enlightenment that the Buddha received its enlightenment under, it's also this exact same tree of life that we're speaking of. And I'm going to need you to pronounce the Sushumna once again. I still hadn't perfected that.
You got it. Sushumna.
I got it right. Okay. Sushumna. That's the Sushumna that we're speaking of, this tree of life, the spine column, the vortex, if you will, the linkage, the vahana, the vehicle that connects us to all three worlds, the upper worlds, the lower worlds, and the earth plane, the middle worlds. So it's through the Sushumna, the tree of life, that we ascend, descend, evolve, and devolve. So once we learn to connect with our Sushumna, we can evolve into the higher worlds as the Buddha and attain enlightenment, nirvana. Now, this is significant because we're actually speaking about the story of the phoenix. We're also speaking about the story of the phoenix. The phoenix sets itself on fire, becomes renewed, attains immortality. It's really, really interesting how the mythologies are intertwined, the linkage of them too. That's why I keep going back to the Va, the linkage or the connection. The Bodhi tree that the Buddha attained enlightenment under, and the letter Va, in Hebrew, the letter Va is connected with a particular constellation, a particular group of stars, as we just left Astrologia. It's connected with a particular set of stars. Imhotep is connected with a particular set of stars, a constellation. I got to ask you again, could you share, Omaria, which constellation that may be, that you're aware of, that Imhotep is connected to, or if you're familiar with that? Father mentioned it in the seminar several times.
So. The Milky Way?
No.
No?
The actual constellation.
The constellation?
Some may know this. Some may not. That's why we're here.
That's why we are here. What constellation, Robert?
Okay. It's the
reason.
Next
time I have you, I'm going to have to do some homework, man.
I had to do some of that myself. So, I know. Yeah, really. For me, that is. But the constellation of ancient Egypt is the reason that we go. Go ahead. What was
Ophiuchus,
that again?
Which is the serpent energy, the 13th zodiac in Vedic astrology.
That we have it.
Got you.
The reason of the missing 13th sign.
Wow.
13th. Zodiac, if you
and
will.
And you know
that's
what? That makes me think that it's missing because we have to find it within ourselves.
I like that. We must be finding it now. I guess we're just divine linkage, right? Connecting with yourself, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're definitely connecting. We're connecting. In the ancient Imhotep is the son of Apollo in the ancient Greek pantheon, the god of medicine and healing, who the older brother of Mercury, who gave the caduceus to Mercury. Right, so here we have the caduceus linkage once again all throughout, and in the symbolism of the caduceus, it's the most powerful symbol I've seen. I mean, it really explains all. To me, it's one of the titles of the Zhanti. It's known as the author of every branch of knowledge, both human and divine. The author of every branch of knowledge, both human and divine. That epithet just blows me away, that title, that description right there, because that's the truth. It really doesn't start to hit home for you until you really start to study Hermes. And you begin to realize that, I mean, we can just look at the catalog. We can look at all the tablets that Father has brought to the earth plane.
Yeah.
The author of every branch of knowledge, both human and divine. Even though they wrote it and said it, experiencing is just way, I mean, they said it as best as you can say it, and they couldn't have said it. I mean, but it's, they still didn't say it good enough.
Mm-hmm.
I'm amazed that they even wrote it, that they had it then. I always get amazed at the ancient scholars and the scientists who, you know, stored this knowledge, you know, the sacred wisdom for us to come back to, you know, a trail home, if you will. I always get amazed. And even though when you're reading it and you're witnessing it, I mean, they say it as best you can say it, and they didn't say enough. I mean, mm-hmm. they must have went today, you know, it's amazing. And we're witnessing it. You know, we're blessed to witness the gods and beyond before us. So it's a beautiful insight. I'm just grateful. So just the connection with Ophiuchus, and we're speaking about the Buddha and the connection with Ophiuchus. Ophiuchus is known as the serpent holder. He's known as the serpent holder. And Ophiuchus, he holds one end of the serpent, the head, which reaches up, and he holds the tail as this usually shown within its description. Now, the placement of Ophiuchus in astronomy is significant. I'm just a fan of astronomy. I love star lore, astronomy, and the linkage with the gods.
Mm-hmm.
How it connects with the pantheons. It's amazing. It's an amazing place to direct your awareness and attention to. And so, this is significant. The placement of where Ophiuchus is. Now we've made the connection between Ophiuchus, and we've made the connection with Imhotep and Joseph of the biblical text. Okay. Now, just to pause for a moment, in ancient Egypt, when anybody who's ever got the chance to study the mythology of in ancient Egypt, when you study Horus, you will start to notice that he always has smiths with him. He always has blacksmiths with him. Nobody ever talks about that. Why does Horus always have metal workers with him? When he defeats Set, the ship that he's on, it's always talked about his the smiths that are with Horus and help him and aid him in battle and defeat him and the linkage there. Even the youth, Horus the youth, when you look at the stellars, the god Bes is overhead of Horus. He's always with him. That's the dwarf form of the god Ptah. Nobody ever talks about that connection, but it's all written in the hieroglyphs in stone.
Mm.
Why? What's the connection between Ptah and Horus? So
Ptah and Horus.
I'm just putting it out just to share that.
Okay, gotcha.
It's more there. It's more there.
Mm-hmm.
He's even known to have a limp. This limp is very significant. Hephaestus is said to have been thrown from Olympus, and when he fell, he had a limp. He's the only Roman or ancient Greek deity that's shown with a deformity or a limp. It's a reference point to the dwarf form of the god Ptah. I say that because it's going to connect with Ophiuchus. It's a linkage. All the details that they show, all of them are greater teachings that they're showing. And it's just some of the awareness of it. You know, Father connects us to the power of it. This is just a small piece of the awareness of what the mythologies are describing and showing us. Okay, so we have Ophiuchus. Ophiuchus is very significant. It's a reason that he was taken, you know, the church took him out of the Zodiac. Why didn't they want anyone? Even when you go into a hotel or a skyscraper, they don't have 13 floors.
Nope, and I always skip the 13th floor.
Why? I always skip the 13th floor.
And Friday the 13th is always the bad day.
Friday the 13th, always the bad day. What are they really saying? What's really being hidden? What's so significant about Ophiuchus? In the mythology, in ancient Greek mythology, Imhotep is he's known as the god of immortality, and he received, this is significant, he received the blessings of immortal life, and if you will, the death. If you know, he could issue either of the two. And he received these vials or these cups, these vessels, from the goddess Athena, the power to heal or the power to destroy. And if we think about the serpent with the split tongue, right, you know what I mean, the power to heal and poison and venom, if you will. So these symbols, the y'all link. The fact that he received it from the goddess Athena is very significant. Athena is the goddess of wisdom. As we look in ancient Egypt, of course, the god of wisdom is none other than Thoth. In the Vedic, so you can see the attributes going to each pantheon, and not to space it so far, but the goddess Athena, just to show you the linkage between Ptah, the father of Imhotep, and when we look in the Greek pantheon, and I mispronounce his name. I'm not always the best with pronunciation sometimes, but Acephalus, I know I'm mispronouncing it, but the sun, that's the ancient Greek representation or ancient Greek manifestation of the god Imhotep, who's the son of Apollo. He's known as the god of healing, as I shared earlier, but he receives this gift of the giver of life or medicine, the healer, and also just the opposite, the two polars, right? Polarities. He receives it from Athena. Now, why is that significant that he receives it from Athena? Well, the birth of Athena is known as the brainchild of Zeus, the king of the gods, Zeus. And the story goes, he was having a very bad headache, and he didn't know, you know, I'm just paraphrasing, you know, how to relieve himself of this great pain and agony. He was trying to give self-birth, you know, birth to the goddess Athena. And lo and behold, he asked his son, who was Hephaestus in the Greek pantheon, to relieve him of this headache and deliver the child Athena. And Hephaestus strikes the head of the god Zeus with his axe, and the goddess Athena is born. She rises thereupon. So when you make the connection with Athena, I was just thinking about this the other day, who was linked, you know, the goddess of wisdom, who was linked as Thoth. As the Dejanti, and you see in ancient Egypt that though the Dejanti father is the god Ptah, who was Hephaestus in the Greek pantheon, and we see the birthing of Athena by the hands of Hephaestus. So now when you see it, you know, that's just another insert right there, but I know I'm getting away, so I'll bring it back to topic, but that's the link, one connection with Hephaestus, the goddess Athena, in the birthing of Imhotep in the Greek pantheon. So,
wow.
With the constellation of Ophiuchus. Okay. Now, the positioning is very significant. As I talked about in ancient Greek pantheon, Imhotep was known as the god of, he was connected with immortality, the god of immortality. He was making mankind immortal. Humanity, he was showing man the way. And man was becoming immortal, as the mythology describes it. And so complaints began to come from Hades. And Hades was complaining to Zeus, or, you know, he shared his disdain for this because Hades wasn't being populated, and it was just being very disrupted. The whole order of Hades was being disrupted because Imhotep was making man immortal. You know, he was healing man. Nobody was coming to Hades. It was a big, the order of the balance between the worlds was being disrupted. And so Zeus decided, it's really a story of metamorphosis into his godhood, into his immortality and stellar, his story being written in the stars. But as mythology explains it in the ancient Greek pantheon, Zeus hears the pleas of Hades, and he decides to do so. He must do something about it, and so he strikes Imhotep in the Greek pantheon. He strikes him with a lightning bolt, and he kills him. He dies as a result of the lightning bolt, and he's placed amongst the stars as Ophiuchus. And so he's connected with the story of Orion. Orion the constellation Orion, of course, we all know it's the god Osiris from the ancient Egyptian pantheon, one of the most significant constellations in the sky. We all learn about the constellation Orion. The belt of Orion is always signified or pointed to throughout movies and just throughout it. You always come across Orion, even if you know nothing of star lore or anything like that. At some level, you've encountered the story of Orion. In the ancient Greek pantheon, he's known as the Great Hunter. And he was such a great hunter that he became, you know, he was a very proud hunter, and he would always share, or, you know, kind of like boast, if you will, of his ability to hunt any other animal kingdom and be victorious. And so the goddess of the hunt ends up sending a small scorpion to defeat him, to show the mighty hunter Orion is poisoned or killed by a scorpion, right? And so the goddess of the hunt, the sister of Apollo, by the way, sends a scorpion and stings Orion, and he dies as a result. Okay. What's really being portrayed is, when you look into the stars, when you look at the constellations, the scorpion that's sent is actually Scorpio, constellation mm-hmm. Scorpio. Now, Scorpio is connected with both Ophiuchus and Orion. Whenever Orion rises, Ophiuchus sets. And whenever Ophiuchus rises, Orion sets. They are actually 180 degrees apart from each other, across from each other. I didn't notice. They reflect it. They're exactly 180
wow.
degrees. Mm-hmm. Very significant. They mirror each other. They're the same. They're the same. And this is very significant because Orion is connected with the winter solstice, and Ophiuchus is connected with the summer solstice. So whenever one constellation rises, the other sets. They're never on equilibrium at the same time. And this is important because the story of Orion being stung by the scorpion, or, you know, meeting his fate, if you will, right? The winter, the sun, if you will, loses its power. This is the story of the resurrection of immortality.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So we're going through the, you know, the winter season, the winter gate. It looks as if the sun is losing its power and what have you. So this is significant that they never talked about that they're 180 degrees apart. That's very significant. That's very significant. Whenever the Orion and Scorpio always, he said in the mythology tale, Orion is always fleeing from Scorpio. Well, the positioning of Ophiuchus, his foot stands on the back of Scorpio, crushing the scorpion.
Hmm.
Beneath Ophiuchus is Scorpio. And so in terms, we can say he's resurrecting, or the resurrector of the gods. Immortality, right? It's connected with immortality. So he's crushing the poisoning scorpion, if you will. Scorpio is the only constellation, the only symbol in the zodiac that has three symbols for a zodiac. You know, like Libra has the scales, Aries has the ram head, and so they're all linked. And so with Scorpio, though, there is three symbols. And those symbols are the scorpion, the serpent, and the eagle. In ancient Egypt, Scorpio was known as the sign of initiation in the mystery school. It's known as the sign of initiation. So now we have this entanglement. I'm just trying to bring the mythology up into the stars and kind of like paint a picture here to kind of make it visual. And so Ophiuchus' foot is over Scorpio, resurrecting Osiris, you know, killing the scorpion that would do harm to the god, the great god, Osiris, the god of the underworld, if you will. Okay, now, this is significant because one of the... Am I jumping around a bit too much here, Mario? I don't want to lose.
Let me
I'm
tell
trying
you
to bring
something.
It together.
You know, every time we talk, I just get I get mesmerized, so we're good. But let me make this announcement. We have about 5 minutes left in the show, guys. So if you're listening to the streaming on blogtalkradio.com, call in to 516-453-9395, and you can listen for the rest of the show. Of course, Robert is coming back. I'm telling him that he's coming back, so I'm not even asking. I know he loves that. I'm telling him that he's coming back. But if you want to catch the end of the show, he's not jumping around too much, Robert. You're not jumping around too much because it's such a wealth and a breadth of knowledge that, like you said, a lot of people, they hear about Orion. We see Orion in the movies. We know about the great hunter in the sky. But when you break it down and get the actual meaning of it and how it, what meaning it has for you on this earth at this time to assist you in evolving to your God self, that's the whole point. So, no, you're good. You're good, bro.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Okay, okay. Let me see. I know we only have about, what, about 5 minutes left?
Yeah.
So let me, I'll try to bring that in, and I'll definitely be back. I guess this is our part one here. And we'll go into the part two on next show. So, but, right, but the Ophiuchus, the Scorpio, and the, it's a constellation above Ophiuchus that really ties this all in for me, once you learn of three.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's towards the end, but we spoke of the letter. And so, I'm sorry. Give me 1 second.
It's okay.
Go ahead. Yeah, that's my nephew's running around here, and he's grabbing and hiding things. So yeah, so the one linkage that connects the two is the constellation that's known as Aquila. Now, Aquila is Latin for eagle.
Mm.
It's known as the eagle of Zeus, the carrier of the thunderbolt, the carrier of the power of the spirit of Zeus. Said to be Zeus himself, Zeus transforms into an eagle and a lot of his, through the capture of Ganymedes. That's the constellation Aquarius, or Neptune, if you will,
mm-hmm.
which is also, they're all aligned in the sky. So once you read the mythology, you can match the mythology with the constellations and stars and see what they're actually trying to show, share and tell us, some of the insight. And you can also connect that with the energy centers in the body, and you can also connect that through the temple of man. This all links, they're all mirror reflection of each other. So the constellation Aquila is significant. Why? Because Aquila, in the Hebrew language, Aquila is represented as the letter Va.
Wow.
In the Hebrew language, the letter Va, the connector, the linkage, the spinal, the Shishuma.
Mm-hmm.
The Shishuma is represented in Aquila.
Wow. Ooh.
Wow, right.
I know time. Hopefully we'll get a chance. Yeah, I don't know how that hit home for you, Omarion. That's it. Just the piece
is
we was
like,
able.
That is like, oh my goodness. It's like amazing, inspiring. It's just like, Aquila. It's like Aquila.
I like
that. Wow.
Aquila, yeah. I like the I say something, that's primordial sound, the A-H, right?
Yes.
And even deeper, and I don't want to overdo it there too much, but Ah is actually one of the ancient names for the god Thoth, for the Zante in ancient Egypt. One is old Egyptian. Yeah, that tripped me out too. I was like, that's why we say ah. I was like,
Right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Or even when we say, you know, the
the primordial sound for Ganesha.
A lot of primordial sound. And this is something because Aquila is the Vedic representation of the constellation Aquila. It's the Garuda. It's Lord Garuda.
You know what? I knew you were going to talk about Garuda. I knew it. That's why I was like, I knew Garuda is about to show up, because you know I had my dream about Garuda and where I was given the gift of the statue. But also, and you know, Garuda is connected to the snakes, and then we were talking about Ephesus.
That's right.
And the snakes on the staff with the
Ptah
and Imhotep. So, yes.
Aquila are the wings at the top of the caduceus. Those wings represent the constellation Aquila.
Got you. Okay.
So you can see the entire constellation story in the symbol. Go ahead.
Yeah.
The
snakes are the Ephesus. And Ophiuchus is underneath Aquila, while Ophiuchus goes to Aquila, is what you're saying?
That's right. Aquila is directly overhead Ophiuchus. And beneath Ophiuchus.
But let me ask you this, while we, because we're in overtime, but it's cool. I think we have about 15 minutes still.
Okay.
With the Garuda, you know, the Garuda had to defeat the snake.
Yes.
How does that tie into it?
Oh, that's a beautiful one, because you know I had to do some internal soul sojourning to kind of hold on now, you know, see what was going on, figure that out. So, just to share this, I love the Mayan. It's in every pantheon. They show the union. The Buddha is said to have unified the two. And this is why we see what we also see in the symbol of the caduceus. And so, how is the linkage, if we will?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, in the Garuda's mythology, he has to in defeating of the state of the snakes, he has to go. He actually, at the time, it was kind of hard for me to read because I'm like, oh my God, you know what happened? Oh Lord, you know, forgive me, you know, because I didn't really grasp. I'm like, so you know, it took some time to just assimilate it. You know, to then I had to just, you know, get more and more understanding as I went. But Lord Garuda, during his birth, it's a very important mythological tale because it shares so much. It connects so much. Once again, we have the connection. He's during the birth of Lord Garuda, he's described as several gods. In the Vedic pantheon, they presume him to be, they name other deities during his birth because of this, right? That's very significant. The timing of his birth, the fact that he's born from an egg, the cosmic egg. Your dream was very significant in the Abraxas connection, so now we can start to like see some of the links of why that would be in the connections and things like that. So in the mythology, Lord Garuda, whose brothers are the Naga race, by the way, also known as the dragons, that's right. And so, during his birth, though, the fire was when he was born. It was an inferno. They related his birth to an enraging inferno that was as if that was the same as the fire as when Lord Shiva would destroy the end or destroy the end of every yuga. It was known as an enraged inferno. So great was this fire during the birth, or what they call it, the splendor of the birth of Lord Garuda. And he was connected with all the deities, the heavens. They thought, they perceived that as the god of fire, who was the god Agni, A-G-N-I. And the god of fire is not, and when we go and you trace the god of fire in other pantheons, it's none other than the god Hephaestus, the god, but the god Vulcan, the god of fire in the Roman, the ancient Greek, and the ancient Egyptian pantheon. So you can see the attributes remain the same. When you, the symbols are really important. Once you start to connect the symbolisms, you can start to make the link. Even in the ancient Greek pantheon, the eagle of Zeus is said to have been created from the hands of Hephaestus. So you can start to make the links of what's actually being shared. So that blew me away when I saw that. Just by the way, my spiritual parents, the three beings responsible for my creation, are the gods Hephaestus, the ancient Egyptian Ptah, the god Mercury, the Jundi, and the god Neptune. And the god Neptune is none other than the ancient Egyptian Nun, Anun, N-U-N.
Wow.
It goes deep. It goes deep. The ancient creation story of ancient Memphis, of ancient Egypt, and the genesis of the Bible, and the link of how it's interrelated. It's vast. It's amazing to see the two, the linkage of the two. And so I don't know how the time is, but it's significant because the god of fire, Anjani, is in the Vedic mythology, is known as the messenger of the gods.
Wow.
Through the fire, right?
Let's stop here because I don't want it to cut us off. And we will definitely get together to combine our calendars to make sure we will have you on again. thank you so much, Robert. I appreciate you so much. You know, this is a love I have of, you know, connecting that divine energy and showing people of how it's there for them and how to use it for your highest good. That is like my, as the Millennial Soul Scribe, that's part of my purpose of showing people how to connect with that innate ability and innate energy, a divine spirit and beingness within them, to have the life that they truly desire, you know? So I appreciate you for being here with me tonight and breaking it down. And now we have some homework to do, guys. Next show we'll probably do it 2 hours, and we'll allow time for people to call and to press one and ask questions for the God historian, Mr. Robert Lorenzo. I appreciate you, and I will talk to you soon. Thank you, thank you, thank you to the listeners for calling in, for those that streamed on the web, and those that called in. We appreciate you. And you guys have a good evening. Robert, I will be talking to you soon, okay?
Okay, all right. Thank you very much, Amari. And thanks for the honorary, almost hilarious to me, but I appreciate you saying that title. So, yes, and thank you, everybody, too, for everybody who decided, you know, chose to listen in. Appreciate
yes.
you. Thank you.
We appreciate you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Have a good
thank
evening,
you,
guys.
We'll be talking to you soon.
All right.
Peace and blessings. Thank you.
Peace and blessings.
Bye.